So after nearly 2 years of pregnancy, mama elephants give birth to a baby somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 feet tall and 200 pounds. Female orcas have it a lot easier. They only have to endure about 18 months of pregnancy. But they do stay awake for an entire month to protect their baby when they're first born. Mama eider ducks pull out their own feathers to line their baby's nest with it. And they're so focused on that baby that they won't eat for the first month of motherhood. The common loon carries her chicks on her back to protect them from underwater enemies. And when the baby gets cold or afraid, they seek shelter under mama's wing where she will warm them and protect them. So even in the animal kingdom, mamas are loving and protecting and sacrificing for their young. So today on Mother's Day, I ask, while they're doing this, what are those youngsters doing? Those rascals are just playing with their friends, having fun. They are light as a feather. They are foreigners to fear because they live in faith that mama is in control. Right? The youngsters are at peace because their mother works hard to keep danger away. She sacrifices to provide for their needs. She knows that life is precious, and yes, there are enemies to fear. Fear is real. And our natural human response to fear is to try and control it. Right? We manipulate situations to avoid fear. We miss out on experiences to just avoid the possibility of having fear, right? As long as I'm in control, everybody listen, I'll be in control, I'll control you and me, and then everything's going to be fine, okay? Everyone in this room feels like that. As long as I'm in control, it's fine. But if I lose control, the worst is inevitable, right? We fear losing control. We're currently in a sermon series that you silently saw is called Faith Over Fear, where we are looking at some of our most common fears and then discovering God's power over them. And today, we're looking at the fear of losing control. Anybody relate to that? Maybe the opposite. Let me just ask, do you like to be in control? I don't want to put a label on anybody, but would you call yourself a control freak? If you don't think that you fear losing control, let me just ask some other questions. Do you have to know what's going to happen tomorrow? Do you need every single detail before you can commit to a decision? Do you have unrealistic expectations of people? Do those unrealistic expectations cause you to move from group to group? To hop from church to church? Do these unrealistic expectations of people cause you to just move on? Friends who can't meet your expectations are no longer your friends. You seek perfection in yourself. Do you demand perfection in people close to you? These are all symptoms of the fear of losing control. We're never satisfied with people or situations, so we just move on. We can't control them and keep it the way we want, so we'll go find some new people in a new situation and see if we can control that. We live in the constant tension of trying to make everything the way that we know it should be. And that's exhausting. Right? Because trying to be in control is trying to be God. And we are not. Right? And it keeps us from enjoying life or being at peace or experiencing genuine relationships with other people who also are not God. Celebrate Recovery is a Bible-based 12-step program. Christy and I have worked through the program. We've helped lead it. We believe in it. And CR starts with this principle. I realize I'm not God. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. And this statement, this is not a concession of defeat. It is an embrace of freedom. There's freedom in that I'm not in control. I'm not God, and I don't have to try to be God. Fear keeps our hands locked on the reins of uncertainty, trying to keep that crazy train on the track, right? Fear freezes us in a place where we think we have control. But faith frees us from fighting for control because we recognize that God is in control. Fear freezes, but faith frees us, right? Fear fights for control. But faith is the peace that God is in control. Fear freezes us, but faith frees us. The Scottish theologian and poet Henry Francis Light, he captured this idea in poetic form in 1834. He said, "Father-like, he tends and spares us. Well, our feeble frame he knows. In his hand he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes." If you prefer a more modern vernacular, the band We the Kingdom expressed the same idea 188 years later in their song Miracle Power. It says, "I may not know what a day may bring, but I know who brings the day." Here's the problem with the fear of losing control. It's an illusion. An illusion, my dear. The idea that we have control in this uncertain world, it is, at best, it's a fantasy. At its worst, it's pride. Right? Those are the extremes of the illusion of control. It's either total fantasy or it is absolutely pure pride. So here's what we're going to see today. We don't need to be in control because God is in control. I'm just going to say that one more time in case you need to let it settle on you today. We don't need to be in control because God is in control. It always has been and always will be God who is in control. We don't need to control other people since the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him. We don't have to worry about the past because he existed before anything else and he holds all creation together. We don't even need to fear death since Jesus told us, "Don't be afraid. I hold the keys of death and the grave." Randall, you can come on up. So today we're going to look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91 tells us control belongs to God. It always has been and always will be God who is in control. So if you're able, would you please stand? And my friend Randall Ader is going to read Psalm 91 for us.
Let's read and meditate on this powerful passage. "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Randall. So Psalm 91 assures us that we don't need to fear losing control because God is in control. And there's a lot in Psalm 91. We don't have time to get into all of it today. It is a deeper well than we can spelunk today. I'm going to include the graphics in this. But here are just a few of the highlights that I encourage you to spend some time looking into. Psalm 91 is an encouragement of the security that God provides for his people and how he uses angels to do that. So if you ever wondered if there's an angel guarding you or protecting you, Psalm 91 says, yes, indeed there is. Psalm 91, also interesting because the devil knew it and he used it to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. So I think if the devil knows scripture, we probably should too. We should probably know our enemy. And Jesus used scripture to uphold, no, it always has been and always will be God who is in control. Psalm 91 encourages us to choose faith over fear by knowing that God is in control, that he is above our fear, he is in fear with us, and he is beyond our fear. So God, we thank you for the truth that you are in control, and help us to see that in your word today and let it change us, not to just be something we agree with or see that it is there in your word, but something that changes us. Help us to trust you with our fears, really trust you when we are afraid. And please use my words and use me in spite of me. May it all lead us to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So first we see we don't need to fear because God is in control and he is above fear. Verse 1 of Psalm 91 says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. To be in someone's shadow means they have to be above you. And I'm no scientist, but that's how shadows work. I don't think you're getting it. Let me show you. This is Max. Max he's about 7 months old now. He was a sweet Christmas puppers. Oh, goodness. But he's grown up to be a dirty boy. So I'm trying to teach Max to run with me. His enthusiasm is high. His attention span's pretty short. We're up to running like 3/4 mile now, but a lot of that he spends chasing and trying to play with my shadow. Because I'm above him, and he doesn't care whose feet he gets in front of, he just wants to play with that shadow. Because I'm above him, so he is in my shadow. Right? And Psalm 91 tells us that God is above us. He is above us, and he is above our fears. Right? And our fears won't reduce God. Even if our fears play out in our life. Right? If someone you love receives a diagnosis filled with scary words, God is still above their future. And our worries and our fears about money, they don't nullify God's deed for the cattle on 1,000 hills. The emergence of artificial intelligence doesn't make the eternal God obsolete. Wars and terrorism won't knock God off his throne. And he tells us those who live, hang on to that word, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So where do you live? I'm going to do something weird today, and I'm going to ask you a question to reflect on, and I'm actually going to give you time to think about it. So when fear is overwhelming, where do you live? Do you live on social media where fear is stoked like a fire to keep it burning, to keep you engaged? Do you live on the news The news who sells your fears to advertisers? Or are you like me? Do you live in your head? Maybe I'm running game tape up here all the time. Okay, if he does this, I'm going to do this. And if she says this, well, then I'm going to say this. Or do you live in the shadow of the Almighty? God says, live in my protection. And he can do that. Right? He invites us to live in his shadow and his shelter because he is above all things, including our fears. And the hard thing about this is sometimes fear is our fault. We swam out too far. He was fine. He made it back. I assume. Sometimes fear is our fault. You know, the young dad forgot it was Mother's Day. And he should be afraid. He should be very, very afraid. Moms, let me tell you, he didn't forget. Every man here, even the first-time guests here with us, I had contacted them and I said, hey, we're going to have a photo booth back there. And he wanted to keep that family photo a surprise. So it seemed like he forgot. He didn't. So he is going to take you back there for a picture after service. And everything is going to be okay. Sometimes fear is our fault, right? We neglect our health. Or we were dishonest on our taxes, or somebody gave us their trust and we broke it. Sometimes the things we fear are our fault. Other times fear is just dropped in our lap, right? And our world is knocked off its axis, but God is not rocked. Because God is in control and he is in fear with us. Verse 15 says, when they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. So God promises to be with you in trouble when you call on him. I'm going to give you a moment to think about it again. When fear is overwhelming, who or what do you call? Fear is overwhelming. Who do you call? You might find some vague, universal, I won't say truth, I will say insight in various places. You might find something that's vague enough to be universally insightful in astrology or tarot cards or in a confessional booth. And I want to be real clear and say those are false teachers. And a false teacher will never, ever, ever offer to get in trouble with you. But God says, I will get in trouble with you. And then he says, I will rescue you. And here's the part that blows my mind. When he says you're in trouble, he says, I'll honor you. Even if we're in trouble and fear that we caused, God said, I'll get in with you, I'll get dirty with you, I will rescue you, and I will honor you. That means when we're in trouble, when we're in fear, and we call on God, he won't condemn us. He won't wag his finger and say, well, why did you get yourself in this situation? No, he says, let me get in there with you. Let me pull you out. Let me lift you up. That's who our God is. He is not angry from a distance. He is in fear with us. And he can do that. He can do that and pull us out because God is in control and he is beyond fear. God is beyond the things we fear. Verse 16, I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Here's how God's beyond fear. Think about this. The one who says, I will give them life and salvation, those can only be given by the one who controls life and salvation. The one who rules life and salvation. See, Jesus existed before fear began, and he will be alive after fear drowns a fiery death. When Jesus promised to come back for his people in the book of Revelation, he says, I, this is Jesus speaking, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So what that means, Jesus has always existed. If my arms went on forever, that's the existence of Jesus. He's always existed. Fear has not always existed, right? God created a world that was good. It was perfect. And then the devil brought fear into the world. Genesis 3, Revelation 20, verse 10, the devil and the fear he brought with him drown a fiery death, and fear is gone. Fear has a lifespan. It has a shelf life, and it's in its half-life right now. I said I'm not a scientist. I don't know if that's an accurate use of that phrase, but fear has limited time, right? If my arms went forever, that's the existence of Jesus, and the tip of this fingernail would be the span of fear. In the midst of this, this is the devil and the fear that he rules. Right, so Jesus has overcome the enemy. He's overcome the devil. He's overcome death. And he has overcome the fear that he brought with him. Jesus' rule and reign will last far beyond the time where fear is gone. And we fear losing control. But even having the ability to fear losing control means we have life, which God gives us. The fear of losing control means that we have breath, which is a gift from God. So God is in control, so we don't have to be. God is in control, and he is above our fear, he is in fear with us, and he is beyond our fear. And Psalm 91 makes it very clear who these promises are for. Verse 1, it says, those who live in God's shelter. Verse 2, those who seek God alone as their protection. Verse 14, those who love God and trust in his name. Verse 15, those who call on God. So God promises to protect, to refresh, to rescue, to reward. What this is saying is those who have a relationship with him. And there is one way to a relationship with God, and it is through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus is the only way to have a relationship with God and all the benefits and blessings of that relationship. That's the only way. So if you are overwhelmed with fear, or if you're just burnt out from trying to be in control, Jesus says today to find rest in him. And all you have to do is say, well, I've tried everything else, and that hasn't worked, so I need you. I turn away from all the stuff I've been trying, and Jesus, I accept the life and the salvation you offer. I get it. You may say, eh, that sounds good, but man, you don't know. I've got a past. I've done stuff. I want to remind you, God promises and offers to get in that trouble with you. And he was deeper in that trouble than you've ever been when he was on the cross, knowing all that stuff. And then when he took it into the grave, and then when he left it there. So if you choose to keep going back in there and getting it out, man, maybe today's the day you stop doing that. Like maybe today you realize his offer is alive. It's real. I don't know if you've spent much time outside of this place, but there's not a ton of hope in this world. There's hope alive in God's promise of life and salvation. And the way you accept it is say, Jesus, I trust you. If you have never done that, I would love to talk to you about that. You can talk to anybody who's been up here today. We'd love to talk about that. But that is the hope that is alive forever and ever, Jesus Christ. But your fear freezes you and says there's no hope. When you think, man, I've got a past, I've done stuff, that's fear. That's the enemy. That is a lie. Fear freezes us and wants us to stay in a place where we think we have control. But faith is freedom. Freedom is saying, well, God's in control, so I don't have to be. It's faith in Jesus that offers freedom from those chains of fear. So the last chapter of the book of Proverbs is often quoted on On Mother's Day, it describes the woman who walks in the freedom of faith in God, and it says she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. So, the prolonged pregnancy of mama elephants, it's impressive. And tired orcas are relatable to some of you moms. Only the tired part, I'm not saying just the state of being tired. I did not think that metaphor through. purely being tired. That's it for me, folks. Sacrificial ducks are inspiring, you know. But the woman who truly deserves to be celebrated and imitated is the one who walks with God. Right? She laughs without fear of the future. She doesn't fear losing control because she knows it always has been and it always will be God who's in control. So I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. And if you're willing for this sermon series, I'm just inviting you to pray with your hands open. It's just kind of a physical exercise of, I don't have to cling to these reins of control. I can live in freedom and peace with open hands. So we don't have to make a show of it. You can just put your hands open on your lap. You don't have to. It's just an invitation. And I'll just lead us in a time of prayer. God, we are in awe of who you are. God, that we don't have to strive for control because control belongs to you. Life and salvation belong to you. God, that you have already overcome this life and our fears. You've overcome death and the grave. You are the owner of life. And that you would offer that to us is overwhelming and a gift that I pray you would help us all to receive. That if we don't know Jesus as Savior, that today that would change, that we would wrestle with why we wouldn't accept your love. And if we do, if we know Jesus as our Savior, help us to release our fears. And fear is real. It is a real thing. It can even be healthy. But just the unnecessary, overwhelming, even habitual fears that we have, help us to release it to you, not just in this moment, but throughout this day, throughout this week, knowing more and more that you are in control. God, thank you. Thank you for your love and your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you that this is true. That we can rest in you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.